Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren today. We're happy to see you here. We're happy to have you over there. And our sermon title today is called Rebuilt. Our scripture lesson today comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. And because I have such a caring and loving family, I feel obligated to share with you when I struggle. When things have happened. And this past week, I had a rough point in the week. I was walking along downtown Baltimore, minding my own business, when I was attacked by a group of street criminal mimes. They snuck up on me. And did unspeakable things to me. I'm going to let that one sink in. Randy got it. Some of you on the other side will. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 10, of the sermon called Rebuilt. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you. As people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The Lord has sent a message against Jacob. It will fall on Israel. All the people will know it, Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, who say with pride and arrogance of heart, "The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild these with dressed stone. The fig trees have been felled, but we will replace them with cedars." May God add his blessings to these passages as we seek him in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We ask that you would bless these words and strengthen us accordingly as we seek you out in them. Let these thoughts and meditations be from you to us. Let us hear these words and use them in the week to come. And let us use them as the guide that Jesus loves us. This we know. We ask, Father, that you would help us along, that you would open our hearts into this. In the name of Jesus we pray. And all of his children said, Amen. Walter Sterling Seeley. 92 years old of Griffith Avenue and Memory Garden and Carlson Road in Winter Haven, Florida, passed away on August 7, 2013. He was born August 24, 1920 in Jamestown, Pennsylvania, the son of the late Earl and Helen. He was in the Royal Canadian Air Force in 1942 and served 4 years. He met and married Evelyn, his love, for 70 years. On October 3, 1943, they wed. Following his service in the RCAF, They returned to Jamestown. By 1950, Walt had established Walt's Car Exchange on Washington Street, where he sold new and used automobiles. Walt was the embodiment of the statement, "If it casts a shadow." Now, by the look on your faces, and I can't tell on the other side of the camera, you are now locked into, where is he going today? Now, if you have been a faithful attendee of Long Meadow Church of the Brethren, or you've just shown up from time to time, or you've been a listener on the audio files that have been on our webpage forever and a day, and now thanks to YouTube, if you have been a faithful watcher, and according to what I'm given to understand, I can tell who's watching the sermons and who is not, and people that are supposed to be, if you're not, I'm going to call you this week. I don't really know if that's true. If you have ever met me, or been around me, or know anything about me at all, then you know I come from a very long line of lovers of restored steam engines. We all know about Miss Penelope. Tractors, trucks, motorcycles, old cars, whatever might be sitting in a fence row to capture the attention of farm equipment and old iron lovers around the world is where I am bred from. Where the saying amongst the family of believers or obsessed that anything can be restored, the saying goes, if it casts a shadow, it can be rebuilt. Now you've heard of Walter, but I want to put two more names into your head today. In 1905, actually in 1904, Harry Tone, who was a designer of automobiles at the turn of the century, was sitting down outside of a warehouse eating his lunch. And while he worked his way through his dinner that day, he happened to notice that a truck had come in and was unloading a set of frame rails with a suspension attached to them upside down to go into a factory to be built into other cars. And he began to puzzle. Perhaps there's a better way to build an automobile with the frame underneath of the axles, give it a different center of gravity, give it a wider stance. And so in some crude drawings, and with the help of Harry Stutz, the designer, the American Motor Car Company was built and designed and started in 1905. We know them today in the Lovers of Antiques field as the American Underslung Automobile, which they captivated that name because of the underslung frame. These were cars from the days known as the Brass Era. The company lived from 1905 to 1914 simply because they believed that automobiles should be of elegance, that they should be for the discerning person, that they should have all the amenities, and they had big engines in them that made upwards of 70 horsepower, and they were covered in brass, and they were fancy. And in those days, those cars cost between $2,000 and $6,000. That's a lot of money back then. It is estimated that they built 45,000 automobiles before they bankrupted themselves because they were building them to a market that was not going to exist anymore after a certain gentleman name of Henry Ford introduced the Model T. Today, there is a handful of those automobiles left. Estimates put them as being able to be counted in the number of 10. They've come to auction from time to time. In 2000, a 1914 Model 60 644 touring car sold for $100,000. A Model 22A 4 years later brought $115,000. A 1914 touring car in 2013 brought $748,000. A 1908 Roadster in the same year of in the spring of 2015 brought $1.7 million. And the toy to know The 1910 Traveler, the most famous of the underslungs, brought $1.9 million at auction in 2018. Now, we have to talk about the American Underslung. We have to put the name Frank Deamer in there. F.C. Deamer was an oil man back when oil was discovered in Pennsylvania. And if you are a Pennsylvanian, is that the proper way to say it? Pennsylvaniaite? If you're from Pennsylvania and everybody says that oil was discovered in Texas, fellas and folks and people from Pennsylvania will straighten you out real quick and in a hurry like, no, it wasn't. It was found here first. Hence the name, Oil City, Pennsylvania. And Frank Deamer was a young man who had a farm that his family had bought, and they discovered oil on it, and Frank overnight became a young oil baron. Frank loved farming, loved cars, loved the turn of century design, and bought himself a two-seater roadster and tore off around the countryside, seeing his investments in an American underslung roadster. Now, it's the turn of the century. You got your hat on backwards, you got your gauntlet gloves on, you got your goggles on, leather coat. You're riding around town looking rather dapper, I might add. And naturally, you're going to attract the attention of young women everywhere that are going to go, hey. And one woman caught his attention to the point where he married her, and he put her in a car, and they tore off toward the countryside in his roadster. They had a good time. But one evening on their honeymoon in 1908, he pulled into a place for the night and asked to put it in a barn. And the man said, sure, because you didn't leave those kind of cars set out on the road. And the barn caught fire and burnt to the ground that night and burned up F.C.'s roadster. F.C. and his bride on their honeymoon said, well, we just love that car so much, let's just go get another one. And they jumped on board a train and they took off to Indianapolis, Indiana, to the American Underslung or the American Motor Car Company, and they watched them build another roadster. And Frank fell so much in love with them, he wrote them a check and said, every year that a new design comes out, give me the first one off the line, put it on a train, and send it to me. So much was he in love with them, and so much was Frank, a man after my own heart, that they traveled back after they picked up their roadster, stopped into the barn, had the car that was burned up loaded on a flat car and sent home where it would be lovingly put away because he didn't want to see it picked off for parts. And so time progresses. Frank passed away. In the 1960s, Walt Seeley began to hear about an American underslung roadster sitting in a building not too far from him, and he became intrigued. And so thus he went. And he went to the family and he talked to them. And after hearing about it, after doing his own restoration work, he wandered up there and, for lack of a better way to put it, found King Tut's tomb when the family said, well, we know who you are, Mr. Seeley. We'd love to show you the car. And the caretaker took him into a building where Walt saw for the first time the 1910 Traveler toy tonneau. And they said, well, that ain't the only one. They showed him a second one and a third one. Then they took him upstairs and showed him the burn up one. I read an article where Walt said the tears couldn't stay from his eyes when he turned to the family with that look. And the family said, Walt, no, they're not for sale. But if you restore these three, we'll let you pick one of the four to keep as your own. And so for the next 17 years, Walt restored these underslungs. And in 1968, delivered the first one to the famous Hershey Auto Show. These cars were in such bad shape, they had been turned into pickups, beaters. The engine out of the burn-up one had become a power unit for an oil pump and been let run out of oil till it seized up. He had to fabricate gears and levers and controls. He had to make up his own body work. And yet he did it. One engine, he wrote, took 5 years to get it back to running. But in 1968, the rebuilt cars showed up. Now let's flash forward and put another name in your head. Paul Leatherman III. When I was a young man, my dad would get magazines about cars and he would get done reading them and he would pass them down to me and I would read them magazines and we'd go to shows and there'd be a box full of magazines and I'd grab one because I was determined to become the leader of the Leathermans to find the ultimate find. I still am looking for that, by the way. But in one of the articles in one of the magazines from the American Automobile Club of America was Walt Seeley's story written in 1979. And I read it and reread it and read it and reread it and was captivated by it. So much so that in 1984, my father and another man took me and my best friend in high school, who was a car nut, an antique tractor nut, and we went to the Hershey Show. And on the way up there, I had been reading some articles, and that book was in the car, and as we were allowed to tear loose, we walked down a row, and there sat the toy 1910 Tonneau Traveler that Walt Seeley had restored. I ran back to the car. I got the book out. I ran past my best friend in the whole wide world, about knocked him over. I ran up. Now imagine that. I ran up to Walt Seeley, who was standing there talking to me. Went, Mr. Seeley, Mr. Seeley, Mr. Seeley, would you sign my book? And he stepped back like 10, 15, 20 feet and looked at me for a moment. And I said, my name is Paul Leatherman. I've read your story. I know this car. I'd like you. And he said, oh, okay. And he walked over and he signed my book, which I still have. And I asked him, why? And Walt turned to a 14-year-old boy, 15, and said, climb up in the car and sit down, son, and I'll tell you. I hyperventilated. I sat down and I turned to him and I said, why? Why? 17 years of your life devoted to rebuilding this treasure, not for any other reason. And Walt simply said to me, because they needed rebuilding. They needed to live again. They needed to be rebuilt. Isaiah 9 tells us what is happening to a broken people, to a hurt people, to a lost people. The prophet Isaiah is telling people, there is darkness going to be lifted. There is a light coming. There is light going to shine on a land that has lived in the shadow of death. You, my child, my children, my Israel, are going to be rebuilt. And it's all going to come from a single source. A child yet to be born. And not only for you, but for those of you that are Gentiles. For unto us a child will be born. To us a son is to be given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will save all of us. He will see to it that we are all rebuilt. How do we know that we need this? Because we have been born. Because we were born into a world full of sin. He even goes on to say that the bricks that have fallen down will be built with clean stone. The fig trees that have been felled will be rebuilt with tall and strong cedars. Everything about us that we have destroyed, that the world has destroyed, that wickedness has wrought in our lives, that we have allowed to take us away, will be rebuilt by Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus eats with sinners. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. Levi got up and left everything and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others who were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to the disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I have come to rebuild. I have come to save you." I've told the story of Thomas Edison and the young man in the shop working on the light. The young apprentice that was tasked with carrying a single bulb up the steps to the top of his office where it would be tested on the only electric socket in the building at that time. They worked for 24 hours to build this thing, a team of men. And just prior to the last step, carefully carrying it, the young man trips, falls, and busts the bulb to pieces. The men shout in anger, and the boy runs off and hides. And they are just this close to testing that another 24 hours, they build another bulb, and they all gather around it. And Thomas Edison says, "No." And goes and finds the young man sitting in a corner, shaking in tears and fears, and says, "Will you please do this for me and carry it up to where it will be lit so we may study it and see its light?" We have been broken like that. Edison showed that young man forgiveness. He rebuilt him. All of us have fell short of that. "I don't deserve this. I have been broken. I do not need to understand anything further except that I'm alone." And yet Jesus Christ has come to you and said, "I don't care about who this was or who you were or what's back there. I care about what I'm looking at right now. And I'm willing to pay the price to see you be rebuilt." Walt Seeley gave up 20 years of his life to see four cars get rebuilt. Jesus, however, gave up much more. At the sixth hour, recorded in Mark 15, came over the whole land darkness until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In verse 37, and with that loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. He gave up everything he had in order that us, may come to know Jesus Christ, may come to be saved. And how do we know that he can rebuild? Matthew chapter 28, verse 2, there was a violent earthquake. "For the angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then quickly and go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" Our Savior, broken, rebuilt, to show us that no matter how far down we think we get, we are never so far down that the price he paid will not see to it that we are rebuilt. Rebuilt! And one day, me, you, all of us are going to cross over that chasm that separates us from there. We're going to go in front of our Father. I've made this joke once or twice. I believe it to be so. I think that when I get there, afraid and alone, he's going to look down from his golden throne and go, "Paul Leatherman III, We've been waiting for you. And I believe he's going to lean up and go, can we get the file on Paul Leatherman? Yes, both trucks full. He's going to start reading. When he gets done, he's going to look at me and go, what do you deserve to be here? And Jesus is going to go, Dad, says here, I rebuilt him, so we'll keep him. And God is just simply going to go, come in. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been rebuilt. That is why we believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior. That is why we are who we are in front of Him. We are worth the effort. We are worthy in His eyes. And the love that He has for us has been shown over and over again, and all started with His death and resurrection to show us what can be done and what will be done for those who believe in Him, those of us who will be rebuilt. Let us pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Father, that you love us so much that You would not let us go, that You gave us Jesus, Your Son, that He would lift us up and that He would take us along, Father. We thank You, Father, that we were rebuilt. We thank You that we get it every day because we need it. And we are blessed to know that one day, Father, we will see You and hear those words of Jesus. This is my child, Father. Welcome home. May God strengthen us in the journey that we take, in the steps that we take now and for the week to come, Father. And thank You for these words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.